Marion Blakey will segue from the FAA to an aviation industry association. Delta's board of directors announces its new CEO. And Garmin says it has solved the problem with the G1000. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, August 22, 2007. Months of speculation that FAA Administrator Marion Blakey might be headed to a position in aviation's private sector were fueled by her comments at her forum at EAA Air Venture. At that time, she commented that she might be back in the future in a different capacity. Now we know what that role will be. Aero News has learned that Blakey has been named president and CEO of the Aerospace Industries Association, effective November 12th. The announcement was made Tuesday by William H. Swanson, 2007 chairman of the AIA Board of Governors and chairman and CEO of Raytheon Company. Blakey's term as the 15th administrator of the FAA ends on September 13th. She'll succeed John W. Douglas as AIA president and CEO. That's a post he's held since September of 1998. Founded in 1919, the Aerospace Industries Association represents the nation's leading manufacturers and suppliers of civil, military, and business aircraft, helicopters, unmanned aerial vehicles, space systems, aircraft engines, materiel and related components, equipment services, and information technology. You can read more background on Marion Blakey's education and career in the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. Gerald Grinstein said all along he was going to step down as Delta Airlines CEO once the bankruptcy was over. His replacement is now known, and a bit of a surprise. Richard Anderson was named CEO by the Delta board in an announcement on Tuesday. Anderson served as CEO of Northwest Airlines from 2002 to 2004 and was named to Delta's new board of directors when the carrier emerged from Chapter 11 in April. Anderson spent 14 years at Northwest serving as CEO as Northwest itself spiraled toward bankruptcy. Still, Daniel A. Karp, chairman of Delta's board of directors, crowed about the selection. Quote, "Well qualified with a proven track record in this highly competitive industry, Richard has a demonstrated ability to master the competitive pressures of today's marketplace with innovation and an unwavering focus on the customer. He brings complementary strengths to Delta's highly talented leadership team and high admiration for the people of Delta and their recent success in restructuring to become a fiercely competitive airline," unquote. As ANN reported last week, unexpected failures in a component of Garmin's G1000 electronic flight deck caused the company to stop shipments of the system until a resolution could be found. The problem was blamed by Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing for a halt in its aircraft production, which has idled 300 workers there. Garmin contacted ANN on Monday to report a solution is at hand, and the company is resuming shipments of the GRS-77 attitude heading reference system that's used in the G1000 installations, and that will be effective immediately. All affected aircraft manufacturers will begin receiving product at once, and production of the GRS-77 will increase incrementally. The original problem was a sudden increase in failure rates during aircraft manufacturer product flight tests, and it was traced to a production process change by a component supplier. Garmin has identified and isolated the suspect components and is conducting additional testing. Garmin tells ANN it will issue a service bulletin in the near future with instructions on how to have the affected units updated under warranty. Heralded by its characteristic twin sonic booms, the space shuttle Endeavour touched down on runway 15 at Kennedy Space Center just after 12:30 p.m. on Tuesday, undeterred by light clouds and a persistent crosswind. Endeavour launched from the Florida spaceport 2 weeks ago and arrived at the International Space Station August 10th. The astronauts conducted 4 spacewalks to continue construction and repair work at the station. The major tasks included the installation of the starboard 5 truss, replacement of a faulty attitude control gyroscope, and preparations for assembly work by future crews. NASA says Endeavour will be processed immediately for its next flight, targeted for February 2008. Preparations continue for the Space Shuttle Discovery's scheduled launch in October on the STS-120 mission to deliver the pressurized Node 2 connecting module to the International Space Station. Up next on ANN, the Civil Air Patrol loses a search plane and its crew. The U.S. Air Force faces a budget crisis. And a supplier says Boeing will announce an increase in Dreamliner production. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com. Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 22, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The Civil Air Patrol is often involved in the search for missing aircraft when things go wrong. We sometimes forget that those volunteers expose themselves to the same dangers as the pilots for whom they search. A crew dispatched to look for a teen missing in Wyoming's Bighorn National Forest has been lost after a Civil Air Patrol Cessna 182R crashed in a remote area of that forest. CAP officials tell ANN the three-person Wyoming Wing air crew was participating in an authorized search for a missing 16-year-old when the aircraft went down at 4 p.m. Mountain Time on Monday. Brigadier General Amy S. Corter, acting national commander, announced, quote, "After the plane was reported 2 hours overdue, a second CAP aircraft was launched to search for the missing C-182. When a U.S. Forest Service helicopter working in the area spotted the crash site in rough terrain," unquote. FAA spokesman Alan Kennitzer told the Associated Press the plane was destroyed in a post-impact fire. CAP has not released the names of the victims, and there's no word yet on a cause. Critics who claim the Bush administration is understating the costs of the war in Iraq may find new ammunition in the upcoming Pentagon budget. The U.S. Air Force, like the Navy, is faced with chopping programs to cover urgent war costs for the Army and Marine Corps, which are being forced to spend more than appropriated by Congress. The Air Force reportedly faces a budget gap of $100 billion over the next 6 years. Some programs, which might be logical targets for temporary reductions, such as the F-22 Raptor or the C-17, cannot be allowed to go out of production without prohibitively expensive restart costs. Defense News reports that unless the Air Force can find another $6 billion plus in 2009, both its premier transport and fighter programs will go out of production at Boeing and Lockheed, respectively. The 2009 federal budget will be the last one over which the Bush administration has influence, and Pentagon officials are facing a major balancing act. Boeing's 787 Dreamliner is off to the fastest sales start of any airliner in history, but at Boeing's announced production rate of 7 per month, 684 orders translates to a backlog of more than 8 years. It's nice to be able to plan that far ahead, but Boeing is conceding it may need to increase production to meet the demand. On Monday, Boeing spokesman Adam Morgan said, quote, "We are currently undergoing a production rate study to determine if we are able to increase rates starting in 2011, but we don't have a specific date or timeline for when this decision will be made," unquote. But Giorgio Zappa, general manager of Italy's Finmeccanica S.p.A., which builds parts for the Dreamliner's composite body, predicted Monday to Bloomberg that Boeing will announce plans to increase 787 production from 7 to 10 planes per month very soon. Quote, "I believe it will make this decision in the next few weeks, and we have already started with the pre-project phase of our investment," unquote. For the moment, Boeing has bigger issues. The planned September 1st flight of the Dreamliner has slipped to at least late September due to complications involving flight control and software. The company says it remains committed to FAA certification in May of next year, with first customer deliveries to follow shortly thereafter. Without giving specific details, China's Vice Minister of the General Administration of Civil Aviation, Wang Changshun, has warned the state newspaper of hijack threats aimed at next year's Summer Olympics in Beijing. Quote, "Our efforts to prevent hijacking as part of security for the Olympics face a severe test, unquote. His comments came during an anti-hijacking drill involving more than 600 civil aviation, public security, and firefighting officers. The drill scenarios included a rescue operation during a hijacking situation in which passengers were held hostage, and a firefighting scene where an aircraft burst into flames upon landing. Officials fear international terrorist organizations are increasing their infiltration into China, and civil aviation planes could be the target of a terrorist attack. The Beijing airport is opening a new terminal in anticipation of the surge in air traffic when athletes, spectators, and journalists begin arriving for the games. Air traffic is expected to increase by 50% during the Olympics. Still ahead, India's government fights private sector user fees on GA. Brazil upgrades a runway in Sao Paulo. And a U.S. congressman loses his cool at an airport and faces charges. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, August 22, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. India's Civil Aviation Ministry is opposing a proposal by Delhi International Airport and Mumbai International Airport to restrict entry of general aviation aircraft and smaller regional jets which are exempt from landing fees. The general aviation and regional traffic comprises about 10% of Delhi's traffic volume and less than 10% at Mumbai. The India Economic Times quoted the official government response, quote, "Private operators cannot stop entry of smaller aircraft at metro airports merely on the grounds of congestion and unavailability of slots. Their unilateral decisions are not accepted," unquote. The landing fee exemptions cover any aircraft with a takeoff weight less than about 88,000 pounds. Ministry officials contend that the current infrastructure hasn't yet been saturated and there is enough room for smaller aircraft at both airports. Brazilian airport operator Infraero has closed the main runway at the country's largest international airport for repairs to improve safety. Bloomberg reports the runway will be closed at Sao Paulo Guarulhos International Airport for about 2 months while repaving is completed. The Brazilian government is still under pressure to improve its air traffic and airport system following the country's worst air disaster ever on July 17th. As ANN reported, a TAM Airlines A320 overran a rain-slicked runway at Congonhas Airport on landing, and 199 people died. The improved runway at Guarulhos, which has handled many aircraft diversions from Congonhas since the accident, will have grooves to prevent water accumulation. The target date for completion of the $6.4 million project is October 10th. When it comes to supporting the 18th Wing's flight training mission, one small unit at Japan's Kadena Air Base has a big job. With only 30 members, the 623rd Air Control Flight is headquartered on Kadena under the 18th Operations Group, but conducts its business from Naha Air Base at the southern part of Okinawa, supporting the 44th and 67th Fighter Squadrons, as well as other units and services. A team consisting of officers, controllers, and technicians makes the 20-mile trip to Naha every flying day to provide overlapping command and control support with airborne warning and control system aircraft, and primary support when AWACS is not available. Because the nose-mounted radar and fighter aircraft can only see forward, pilots rely on the external help to maintain 360-degree situational awareness. The members of the 623rd ACF are proud of a heritage dating to 1943, and also of the little things that make them different. The 60s vintage radar scopes at the direction center are very reliable and maintenance-free. Their facility is owned by the Japanese, and they honor the custom of removing shoes upon entering, leaving the 40-year-old floor still looking new. Major Chuck Dennison, 623rd ACF Commander, says his unit, with a call sign Lightsword, has a distinguished past and an even brighter future. The 623rd supported the Air Force's F-22A Raptor, which was on Kadena for 3 months during its first deployment. Quote, "I'm excited our unit controlled the cutting-edge technology fighter, and I'm very proud of the men and women in the little unit with a big mission," unquote. And finally, the San Diego Union-Tribune reports California Congressman Bob Filner faces assault and battery charges after he allegedly shoved his way past a United Airlines baggage worker and entered a restricted area Sunday night at Dulles International Airport in Washington, D.C. Courtney Prebick of the Metro Washington Airports Authority said Filner was angry at having to wait for his baggage and refused to leave the claim area when the baggage worker told him to do so. WJLA-TV reports several witnesses say Filner yelled, "You can't stop me," before shoving the employee and refusing to leave the claim office. The employee called airport police and has filed charges. In a Monday statement, the airline said, quote, "United regrets that the customer experienced a delay in claiming his bag. The safety and security of our employees and our customers is our number one priority, and we are fully cooperating with the authorities in the investigation into this incident," unquote. Filner's office stated, quote, "The story that has appeared in the press is factually incorrect, and the charges are ridiculous," unquote. This is not the first time Filner has lost his temper. The 8-term lawmaker shouted obscenities at 2 VA officials during a briefing last year regarding the theft of a laptop computer containing personnel information, after the VA officials called the briefing a publicity stunt. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, managing editor Rob Finfrock will share some tips on the best ways to get your news to ANN. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.